Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Liberty Vineyard, and welcome to those who are listening online. This morning, the title of the message is, Do You Hear What I Hear? And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We also know that Do You Hear What I Hear is a Christmas song, and I did some research on it this week, and I found out it was written in 1962, and it's interesting that Alan just prayed the news for Cuba, because in 1962, there was a Soviet Union threat in Cuba. They had missiles there that could be aimed at the United States, and so during the Cuban Missile Crisis, this couple wrote the song, Noel Regney and Gloria Shane Parker. And Noel Regney is the guy who would normally write the music. He was a musician from the French underground and served in World War II and saw the horrific atrocities of war. And so when this was happening in 1962 and this Cuban Missile Crisis was happening, he was in New York City and saw two babies in strollers, and this song just came to him. And then he asked his then-wife to write the music. Normally, she would write the music, and normally she would write the words, and he would write the music. But this time, it was the opposite. And even though it's not exactly biblical, it's a very popular Christmas song, said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? And then the lamb plays telephone and asks the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? And then the shepherd boy goes to the mighty king and said, do you know what I know? And then the mighty king says, pray for peace, people everywhere. So when we come to Matthew and our scripture today, in a little while, we're going to be looking at Matthew 1 and 2. When the king hears the message, the king doesn't respond the way this king did. Herod is different, but Herod's not named in the Do You Hear What I Hear song. So what about this time of year? We go to the malls and we go places and we listen to our radios and hear Christmas carols. Of the top 30 most popular Christmas songs, a lot of them were written right after World War II and during World War II, and some just before. So let's look at the list of the top 30 most popular Christmas songs. Number one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Number two, the Christmas song, which is Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, 1946. That was huge, right after World War II. White Christmas, Winter Wonderland, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Sleigh Ride, Jingle Bell Rock, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Then starting with number nine, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. So that's a hemisphere Christmas kind of thing, because if you're in the other hemisphere, it's not about Let It Snow, is it? What about I'll Be Home for Christmas? That was right in the middle of World War II, and it's still very popular today, I'll Be Home for Christmas. And then The Little Drummer Boy, Silver Bells, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree in 1958, Frosty the Snowman, 1950, Blue Christmas, I'll Have a Blue Christmas Without You, 1949. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, 1963. And then It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, Here Comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. And here's number 19, Do You Hear What I Hear, in 1962. Carol of the Bells, Feliz Navidad, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. And I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Last Christmas, Home for the Holidays, Wonderful Christmas Time, Happy Holidays, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Santa Baby, and This Christmas. Well, we hear all these popular songs, but what about Christmas carols? Some of the famous Christmas carols, Joy to the World, Silent Night, O Holy Night, The First Noel, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. And what about your favorite? What's your favorite Christmas carol? What child is this? We sang that this morning. Mm-hmm. Came upon a midnight clear. What else? Angels we have heard on high. The little drummer boy. Yeah. Little town of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Well, here's one. It's not my favorite, but here's one written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in the middle of the war between the states, 1864. He wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." Now, it wasn't set to music till 1872, but this poem was something that he wrote out of the depths of his despair in the war between the states. It goes, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And now they've changed it to folk in some of the hymn books because men isn't considered politically correct enough. So, but when he wrote it, it was goodwill to men. "And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men." I was sitting in my car at the shopping mall, and there was a church nearby, and the bells were ringing. And I heard them playing, like the ding-dong, "I hear the bells." You know, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." They were doing a carillon kind of concert at noon, and it was very pretty. There are two verses we don't usually have in the hymn book or in a songbook that were written just in the war. And here are these two verses. "Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men." So that was really a cry in the midst of war and devastation. But let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 1. And in a time when the world had come to a place where the Greek culture had swept through with the Greek language, Alexander the Great had conquered and brought a lot of Greek influence. The Septuagint had been written. The translation of all of the Old Testament had been translated into Greek. And the Romans had prevailed over the Greeks and had made roads everywhere. And so there were Roman roads and Greek language. And the prophecies of the Hebrew Bible yet to be fulfilled, we come to Matthew 1. And let's start in verse 18. I'm reading from the ESV. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So here we see in Matthew that Joseph was a just man, a righteous man. He was an upright person. And God trusted him to be the earthly father of Jesus. And we can see the genealogy if we look back a few verses. Genealogy comes from the same root as Genesis, beginnings. And if we look, I don't have a slide for this, but if you look in your Bible, it says the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And here's the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Okay, listen to hear how many women are in this list. Okay, so we have one. We have Judah is the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Okay. Then we have Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. And Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. And Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. Two. Tamar, Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. Three. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. We know her as Bathsheba. So there's four. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asaph. Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram. Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amos. Amos, the father of Josiah. Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. And then it says, all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to Christ, 14 generations. So we have a history here of Joseph so that Jesus could legally be the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, Joseph had a dream, and in the dream he saw an angel, and the angel told him not to be afraid, to take Mary as his wife. Now, he was betrothed to be married to her, and the betrothal was different back then. It wasn't like an engagement that could be broken. When you were betrothed, the bride price had been paid, everything had been done, and all that had to happen was the consummation of this wedding. And so Joseph had found out from the angel that Mary was with child. And he did not want her to put her away privily, it says in King James. He didn't want to disgrace her. And the angel gave him confidence to not be afraid to take Mary as his wife. And then he obeyed the angel. So he was a righteous man who obeyed the angel in a dream. If you want Mary's visitation by an angel, you have to go to Luke. That doesn't happen in Matthew. What happens in Matthew is Joseph has a series of dreams, and he's the one who's the protector of this holy family. Okay. So now we want to... there you go. You've got the angel there. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the visit of the wise men. And I have that up on, yeah. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And that comes from Micah 5:2, in case you want to know. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So here we have the wise men, and there are three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they travel from afar, and it says they open their treasures. The word there is the same as thesaurus, a treasury. So they open like their vast treasury to bring these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we have the Magi with the star, and we have them visiting Mary and Joseph. And they visited later than the shepherds did. In Luke, we have the story of the shepherds hearing and seeing angels and visiting the baby. But the Magi come later, and Epiphany is the Christian holiday that is celebrated to honor the shepherds. To honor the wise men coming. And they come later. So we have a hymn or a Christmas song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And in "We Three Kings of Orient Are," there's a backstory to it. Apparently, the gentleman, Clement Clark Moore, who wrote "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, made some money from writing that, and he founded a seminary in New York City, General Theological Seminary. It's Episcopalian seminary. And one of the students, John Hopkins, who went to that seminary, was tasked to write a song for the Christmas play. And so he wrote the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And he wrote it for 1857. And the first verse says, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star." Well, then, as he wrote about frankincense and myrrh and gold, frankincense and myrrh. We have a friend in the Middle East who gave us this for Christmas one year, and it's, if you imagine that this is gold, it's a little treasure box from camel bone, and inside are myrrh and frankincense, and they're resins from trees. And so the myrrh is the lighter one, and the frankincense is the darker one. And we have pictures. There's gold and then frankincense. Oh, and myrrh. Myrrh's the darker one. Okay, here you go. And I'll pass it around. I also have some frankincense oil. Pass that around if you want to smell frankincense. If you want to smell frankincense oil. Okay. So in verse 2, it says, "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again." So that's gold is for kings. "King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign." And then frankincense, to offer I have. Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising all men raising. Worship him, God on high. So that frankincense was also in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew Bible, we have offerings of frankincense. And then myrrh, verse 4. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, prayer and praising, wait a minute, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone gold, cold tomb. Okay, so myrrh was used for embalming, myrrh was used for burial. So these gifts had to do with being a king, being a priest, and dying and being buried. And then the last verse says, glorious now, behold him arise, king and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. And then the chorus, of course, is, O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Okay, so that's how we three kings of Orient are, came to us. And I don't have a slide for this, but we have the flight to Egypt. And after the wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Verse 13 of chapter 2. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So here's another angel appearing in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. So early, early art in the church depicted this flight to Egypt and depicted wise men coming. And the Magi were very important in early, early art. Even in the catacombs, the wise men are appearing in the earliest art. And then this flight to Egypt. Egypt plays a big part in the Old Testament, in the story of Moses and the account of let my people go, and Israel is like the sun that comes out of Egypt, but it depicts Jesus being a sun coming out of Egypt. And then, if you remember, when Moses was a baby, the children were slaughtered, and Moses' mom hid him in the bulrushes, so he escaped the slaughter. Well, Jesus escaped the slaughter that Herod was about to do, and we'll read about Herod killing the children, verses 16 of chapter 2. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was filled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. And that comes from Jeremiah 31:15. So we have this, this is a depiction of the massacre of the innocents. And there's some more graphic ones that I chose not to put up there. And after Herod died, in verse 19, when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So here's another angel, another dream. Joseph has a dream, you know, is having these dreams and seeing angels and then being obedient. He rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, another dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth that was spoken by the prophet, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. So we have a lot of prophecy fulfilled. And being a Nazarene is different than a Nazarite. Some have thought, well, maybe it meant that he was a Nazarite. Well, no. A Nazarite took certain vows, and Gideon was raised to be a Nazarite, and others were raised to be Nazarites, but not Jesus. And he, if you look in Old Testament, you're not going to find he shall be called a Nazarene. But you are going to find that he's going to be a branch, that he's going to be referred to as the root of Jesse and as a branch. And the word branch in Hebrew is like Netzar. And there's a thought that this Netzar is a play on words with branch and Nazarene. And so that's what some scholars say. And we have a chart here of prophecy fulfilled, where in Genesis 22:18 we have a child of Abraham, and that fulfillment is in Matthew 1:2. In Genesis 49:10 we have the tribe of Judah, and we saw that in Matthew 1:3. And in Jeremiah 23:5 we have son of David, that's fulfilled in Matthew 1:6. Micah 5:2, he's born in Bethlehem, we see that in Matthew 2:1. Isaiah 7:14 says, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and he's virgin born in Matthew 1:23. In Psalm 72:10, the gifts are talked about, that the gifts of the kings, and that comes to us in Matthew 2:11. In Hosea 11, chapter 11, verse 1, it's how out of Egypt I called my son. They fled to Egypt, and that's Matthew 2:14. And then Jeremiah 31:15, Rachel weeping for her children that are no more, and that's in Matthew 2:16. So we have that prophecy fulfilled. So now we come to I heard the bells on Christmas Day again, and it says, in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So this is the real despair. And then the song turns. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. So here we have the account of Matthew. We're missing a lot that Luke fills in, and we will look at that on Christmas Eve. In Luke, we have the story of the prophecy of John the Baptist coming. We have Mary visiting her cousin. We have Mary singing the song, the Magnificat. We have lots of details that we haven't seen in Matthew, but we have seen enough in Matthew to know that he's the son of Joseph. He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. He's rightfully the son of the Holy Spirit and Mary. And he came to be born for us. He escaped death. He returned from Egypt. He settled in Nazareth. He fulfilled prophecies. And he's ready to be our Savior and Lord today. And so as we think about this Christmas season, and we think about our Christmas carols, we know that we will be hearing Christmas music, and we can listen to the lyrics and say, does this glorify God, or is this just making me happy and feel like red and green and tinsel? You know, that is this the message of the Lord for me? And then how can we have a message of the Lord for others? How can we pray for those who hear Christmas music, and how can we really be prayerful in this season of gift giving and tinsel and decorations? What is it that God's requiring of us? I have some interesting backstories of different songs in the Then Sings My Soul book, and I read a little bit of one of them with We Three Kings of Orient Are. But I want to talk a little bit about Emily Elliott, and she was a children's minister, and she wrote this in 1864, still in the same war between the states, but she thought, if I could write a children's song that would tell the whole gospel and the whole story, I would want to do that. And so she did. She included it in a magazine she called the Church Missionary Juvenile Instructor, and it's called Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. And she wrote all of the scripture of Jesus in this little song for children. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. And so then the second verse, heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Third verse, the foxes found rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. But thy couch was the sod, O thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn they bore thee to Calvary. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee, and my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest me. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for the message of, do you hear what I hear? And help us to hear what you're saying to us. Thank you for Joseph, who heard the angel and heeded the angel's warnings. And thank you for the way you superintend all of our circumstances. And you see us, you know us, you act in time and space and history. And thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season, for Matthew's account of your holy nativity, for the wise men visiting, and for the settling in Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. And we want to make room in our hearts for you, Lord. Come to our hearts, Lord Jesus. There's room. Amen. So if anyone needs prayer, this is a good time for prayer. And we would love to pray with you. If you want to make room in your heart for Jesus, there's so many of us who would love to pray with you. Thank you very much.